Let's see, along with the ones that Brother Steve mentioned, let's see here, continue to pray for the walls and the Medicheras, the needs there. Pray for Brother Manuel there. Yes, they're with the building situation. They need prayer there, need help. Pray for Sister Ivala, Sister Leah. If you would, pray for Reese and Stacy, be traveling in this week, Lord willing. Pray for the Snyders. I think the email went out praying about the school property there, some decisions, the Needhams there and the airplane hangar. Pray for the Johnsons, be traveling next weekend, Lord willing. Pray for Brother Randy, commuting there. So just lots of prayer needs there. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Let's turn into John chapter 8, John 8, and we'll start in verse 31 here, Lord willing, John 8, 31. You know, isn't it something, as, you know, the world just scoffs at the Bible. They discount it. They try to outlaw it from schools and from government, and they even think it's against the law to stand up and preach his book on public property, and they're wrong, but isn't it something how they discard the Bible and end up with so many problems then? But they fail to take heed to God's word. And I'd like to talk this morning just about addictions. And, you know, addictions, there's like an epidemic of addictions going on, not only in our country, but around the world. And it's no accident that we have that problem because of the Word of God being tossed aside. It's like, I mean, we as Christians just stop and think how many problems the world would not have to face if they just believed this book. But they won't. And so we're facing just overwhelming addiction problems. But so let's see from the scripture what would help there. John 8, verse 31. The Bible says, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And there's something for us to think about. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. And it says there that he was speaking to the Jews which believed on him and says to him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You know, isn't it sad sometimes that sometimes we start out right and doing the right thing, but then we forsake it because we take things for granted. That's what happened to Israel when they went into the land of Canaan. They forgot God's law, and then judgment came. So then are ye my disciples indeed? So the question for us today is, are we God's disciples indeed? In other words, are we really following his word? Verse 32, and ye shall know what?
The truth.
And the truth shall what? Make you free. I just think just about the penal system we have in America. And, you know, the jails are full. And so, you know, they're almost ready to jail people, you know, that maybe have COVID and are not quarantining in extreme. And yet in the other extreme, they're letting people in the border, not even checking if they have COVID. And there are hundreds of thousands of people they're letting flood across the border. And does that make sense? No. And then they're emptying the jails of of people to make room for more people, dangerous criminals. Does any of that make sense? No. No, it doesn't. But we're not following God's word. Notice with me in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. I wish I could get some of our politicians to listen to the word of God and just follow it. You know, it's like Daniel giving, you know, just test us 10 days, would you? I don't want to eat the king's meat. I don't want to drink his wine. Just give me a test, would you, for 10 days and see? I wish I could get our politicians just to do a test. In Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments. I wish they would follow them. You know, isn't it something how we never used to need hate crimes on our books? Because we had the Bible, and we believed the Bible. The Bible told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. But have you noticed whether these hate crimes are working? No, they're not working at all. We have more racial contention right now, and now they're even beating up some of the elderly Asian people. What's wrong? The Bible's missing. That's what's wrong. God is missing in these lives. But in Exodus, in chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments, and then in chapter 21 and chapter 22, we have situations, statutes, if people don't obey. So in chapter 22, verse 1, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Well, the Muslims say if someone kills or if someone steals something, what? Cut off their hand. Is that what the Bible says to do? You know, if you have a child that steals a package of gum in the checkout lane, are you supposed to cut their hand off? No, that's not God's idea. That's some cruel religion's idea. But what does God say? If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall what? Restore for 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. It's restitution. Think about how many people would not have to be in jail and prison right now if we would follow this. If we would make them make restitution. In this case, they hurt or sell the animal, so they're restoring it 4 to 5 times. If you go down to verse 4, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore what? Double. I just was this morning headed to the hospital to leave the DVD, and I was looking at the Chevy dealer. Have you noticed how few cars there are on that lot? There's hardly any cars there. When someone steals a vehicle and they get caught, and if they haven't harmed the vehicle, they should pay double the price. Could you imagine that? I can't even imagine buying a brand new pickup once, can you? Let alone twice. And if I hurt that pickup, you go back to verse 1, can you imagine paying for a brand new pickup 4 to 5 times over and having no truck to drive? Do you think that would deter stealing? Yes, it would. That's God's simple laws here. And just think how many thousands and thousands of dollars that would save us in tax money if we weren't housing thieves. If they were out having to work off their crime, make restitution. You know, it would not only save us money, tax money in prisons and running these prisons, feeding these prisoners, clothing these prisoners, the medical care for these prisoners, let alone we could talk about a whole different vile thing about us having to make medical payments for these people and their immoral perversion. That's even a further catastrophe right there. But just think of all the money that would be saved. And our insurance. Does insurance ever go down? Do taxes ever go down? Why does insurance keep creeping up and up and up? Well, last week we went to over across the sea to Falls Baptist Church. And you get around the Chicago area. For those of you who have been around the Chicago area lately, could you tell me what is on most of the billboards? Lawyer advertisements, offering to sue someone for you, personal injury, this or that. I know one thing, billboards are expensive to rent. When we were getting up the billboard by across from the old halfway store, we were checking into other billboards at that same time. And at that time, which was in the 90s, the billboards out on 131, some of them are $3,000 a month. A month. $3,000. So if a lawyer has billboards all over Chicago, I mean, that's an even, you know, they go, the pricing goes based upon how many cars go by that billboard. So imagine the traffic north of Grand Rapids, where I was checking on billboard prices. Imagine the traffic around Chicago, where it seems like there's always a traffic jam. So imagine what these lawyers are paying to advertise their name and their face. Trying to get you to sue someone so you can make your millions. But at the same time, who's paying for people to make millions on lawsuits? All of us. You know, when 911 happened and the Twin Towers went down in New York, guess what happened to our church insurance the next year? Why? What did we have to do with the Twin Towers going down? Absolutely nothing, except insurance companies take out catastrophic policies to cover themselves. And guess what happened? They needed those to cash in on the huge loss of those two towers coming down. And so what happened? It trickled all across America. That's what happened. So by us not following Exodus 22, making thieves make restitution, not sit in a jail cell. I've been in there talking to people, and so often they're like a bunch of spoiled young people. I hesitated on what to say. I really shouldn't. I shouldn't even put them in the class of young people, because I praise God for our young people here. But they sit and they watch TV all day long. They swear at the officers. They need to be out working. They need to be out paying for their crimes is what they need to be, not sitting taking in more garbage into their minds. But that's where we're at. And so this whole matter of addictions, we have a population that's gone crazy in addictions. And, of course, the politicians just say, we need to throw more money at this opioid crisis. You know how much that's going to help? Zero. These people need the Lord is what they need. They need to be following the word of God. So let's go back to John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many people are in bondage to some addiction? And you know, they say the hardest problem is to get an addicted person to see that they're addicted, to admit it. They say, I don't have a problem. I don't have an alcohol problem. I don't have a drug problem. I don't have a tobacco problem. I don't have a pornography problem. I don't have this problem. I don't have a gambling problem. Sometimes on the radio, I'll turn on the radio and there will be an advertisement about your first bet, your first sports bet is free. And then the disclaimer after that, you know, if you have an addiction problem, call this. Isn't that foolish? They're advertising something, and at the end, they have to advertise, well, if you need help because of my advertisement, you know, gambling addictions, food addictions, all kinds of addictions. People don't want to admit it. Verse 33, they answered him, we be what?
Abraham's seed.
And we're never what?
In bondage
to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? That's the problem right there. People think, I don't have a problem. I'm Abraham's seed. I'm a Jew. I don't have a problem. Do you have a problem? Why do you think I have a problem? They walk out of Myers with a 12 or 24 or how many ever cans of beer are in that cardboard pack they're walking out of there with. Who's got a problem? They come back into Myers with two or three grocery carts filled with beer cans. I don't have a problem. Why are you looking at me funny? Well, what's wrong? You don't have a problem? Where did all those cans come from? I mean, even when we clean the road, I don't find that many cans. Actually, I find more water bottles when we clean the road. I guess they need to start doing like with cans, they need to start putting a deposit on water bottles. Wouldn't you think the people that are health conscious enough to drink water would not chuck the bottle out the window when they're done? I mean, wouldn't you? It amazes me too. As far as fast food containers, it just amazes me. I find more Culver's sacks and cups along the road than I do McDonald's or Burger King or Taco Bell. Some of the less expensive places to eat. And in my mind, it's kind of boggling to me. I'm thinking, okay, you eat at Culver's. Evidently, you want a little more wholesome food. Maybe I'm getting in trouble when I say that. But and I'm thinking, I can't imagine, you know, paying the extra money to eat someplace like that and then chucking the papers and the cups and the sacks out the window. I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people? I mean, do they drive into their yard and do the same thing? I mean, when they drive into their house, is both sides of their driveway just cluttered with sacks and cups and garbage? Well, how would they like it if driving down M57, everyone was just like them? Everyone chucked all their papers out the window. Can you imagine driving down M57 and your vehicle creates a wind and just papers swirling? That's what it would be like if everyone was like them. I mean, when you see papers swirling, I usually, within reason, try to swerve a little bit, not in the other lane, Lord willing, and not off the road, but what would happen if the front of your car was plastered with papers? It overheats. Your car would overheat. Well, you know what? If everyone was like a lot of those people, our car, we'd have to stop every 5-10 miles, whatever, and shut our engine off and stop that air pressure and let all the papers fall down and then take off again. Isn't that crazy? But we live in a society. I don't have a problem. I've studying for this, I've read about many addictions. There's all kinds of crazy addictions that they've come up with, but I think they need to add to their list littering. I think littering is an addiction for some people. They just don't care. They just chuck it out the window. But they don't see they have a problem. Verse 33. I'm Abraham's seed. I'm a Jew. I don't have a problem. No, not me. In verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin. You got all these people, and now they want reparations. Now, if in their history is some bondage, They want people to make payments to them now. Do you know what that's going to do? And there are some people that are all in favor. But you know what that's going to do? It's going to make those people who are receiving that money lazy, is what it's going to do. And they're going to become slaves. They're going to become slaves to their own laziness. That's not going to help them. It's going to put them in slavery. You know, when God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness, how do you feed people for 40 years in the wilderness without making them lazy addicts? Well, God came up with a perfect thing. What did he do? He dropped manna from heaven. And how big was the manna? The size of a hoarfrost, just a tiny little thing. That's what he did, number one. He did not drop loaves of warm bread on their tents. You know, they could have, being lazy like many people are, you know, they could have just made some things that would gather the loaves of bread and make a funnel that just would cause the bread to fall from heaven and just tumble right into their tent and have it come out right by their bed. You know, it's like breakfast in bed, warm homemade bread. God didn't do that. He made manna tiny, where they had to work to get it picked up. And then what did they have to do to it? They had to grind it in mills. They had to grind it like you'd grind grain. They had to grind it. They had to make it into flour. What else did God do? When the sun got hot, what happened to the manna? It melted. So you know what? They had to get up early in the day before it got hot, or there was what? No food. And so then God did not allow them to stockpile it. 6 days. 6 days. They had to get up and gather manna. But on the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much so then they could rest on the Sabbath day. So do you see how God made a system that was not a welfare system, but was a system that kept people ambitious? And so at the end of 40 years, you know what? They were used to going to work how many days a week? 6 days a week. They were used to getting up what time in the day? Early in the morning. So you know what? There was very little transition other than they had to start planting crops. But when they went into the land, God had houses filled with food, fields planted. But they were used to doing something. So they weren't slaves to their laziness. Verse 34, once again, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Addiction is slavery. It's slavery. There's not just one type of slavery. You know, that's all people want to center on is the slavery that was in America at one time. But there are so many Americans that are slaves right to this day. And they feel it. They feel it on their jobs. They just feel like a slave on their job. Where are the Boazes? So they wouldn't feel like a slave. But they feel just like a slave. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free, what? Indeed. Free indeed. 4th of July is coming up, a little down the road, Independence Day. But there are so many people that really, they can't really celebrate Independence Day because they're slaves. Verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to what? to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Now, isn't that something that in our country right now, there are certain groups that are so concerned about everyone's ideas, you know, not being excluded, except one group, and what is that? Christians. You might include the Jewish people that too, in that sense, because to them, you've got what they call the squad here in America, some Congress people that are like against everything that has any sanity to it. But what do? You notice that there's all these groups hook up and defend each other, except what two groups? Christians and Jewish people. Notice how quickly the squad comes out and condemns Israel, God's chosen people. How quick they are to condemn Christians. What's wrong? Well, they're just like these people right here. They hate God and they hate God's people. Verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. And these people that are condemning Israel, I mean, can you imagine that we here in Michigan are being bombarded by Canada from the east and by Wisconsin from the west? Imagine rockets were flying in here, hitting Greenville and Grand Rapids. And so we start firing rockets back, and all the other states get down on Michigan and say, you people in Michigan are wicked. You're terrorists. We're terrorists? Why? Well, you're firing rockets into civilian territory? What is wrong? Verse 37. They hate God. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So they're accusing Jesus that his mother, Mary, committed fornication when she went up into the hill country. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would what? Love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, who? The devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a what? A murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, if we go back there to verse 34, all of this addiction problem, it goes back to Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's the basis of so many of these addictions, is bondage to sin. And it's only Jesus that can set us free. Now, I know it's possible to go to a doctor and a doctor put a person on a med, and the person ends up getting addicted to it. And, you know, and I know they're trying to crack down on some of that in the medical field. But we have so many addictions that there's There's no innocent beginning. There's no innocent beginning to an alcohol addiction. There is no innocent beginning to that. There's no innocent beginning to a tobacco addiction. There's no innocent. As we're going to see as we go on in this study, Lord willing, a lot of it has to do with friends, what they call peers. Whoever started smoking just on their own? Whoever went out in the field and saw a corn stalk and decided to roll up the leaves and to dry it out and then smoke it, light it on fire and suck in the smoke? No one does that. They're offered a cigarette. Whoever starts injecting drugs into their veins or snorting cocaine, no one just comes up with that idea on their own, do they? It's friends. It's friends that they're around that suggest that. So that is a huge thing we'd like to look into, is who are our friends? Whoever on their own just decided to make alcohol and start drinking it? Now, I know what happened to Noah. But I mean, in our day, who just accidentally becomes an addict to alcohol? No, it's friends. And many times the friend is a relative as well that offers them some alcohol and that gets them started. So a huge thing is friends. And what do those people need? They need a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. They need Jesus Christ is who they need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, please help us. Lord, help us to help people. We live in an age of so many addictions. And there are many people sincerely trying to get out from under those addictions. And Father, we know that the Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. And we know that a good number of people are in addictions that started what we might say innocently, but they're struggling to get out. But Lord, we know that there are a whole host of addictions that did not start innocently. They started when walking with the wrong people. They started through rebellion, and now the people are addicted. Lord, please help us to reach this generation. Help this generation to know true freedom, the freedom that is only found in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name.